Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and now in the studio I've got Cedric Waitere. Good morning.
Ah, morena Reglan. Morena whangaroa.
So Cedric's here to talk about a mission that he's on, but before we get to that, I want to talk about the fact that you were one of the founders of the radio station. We're just looking at a picture we've got on the wall here of the first broadcast day, and you're in that picture. And you're still at school then, though.
Yes, that was 1994 to be exact.
Yeah.
1994, that's in the school hall there. Yeah, absolutely.
And you were, what year were you, like form 6, 7, 5, something like that?
I think I was in form 5 or right. form 4 upwards, yeah, 94.
So you were one of the DJs at that time?
Yeah, and just to let the town know how that all came about was three little merry boys sitting there at lunchtime at Raglan Area School. And we were quite jealous that everyone else had Sony Walkman cassette players in that. And we wanted music too during our day, but we couldn't afford that kind of stuff. But one thing led to another, and we spoke to our principal, Bode Ewity, and we just said, oh, can we have a speaker in the hall, in the spare room? Can we face it out the back window and play our music and listen to it over lunchtime? And then one thing led to another. And Bode Ewity, the principal, then backed us 100%. And then, yeah, we began to form the Raglan Community Radio from there.
I think he was the right man to ask because I hear he had a background in broadcasting.
Oh.
I don't know why I know that, but I've read that somewhere.
Possibly.
So he would have had a bit more of an interest in it than the average principal.
Yeah. But when we asked him at lunchtime... yeah, that particular one particular day there, he was absolutely over the moon. He was keen to support us, and wow, here we are today. The rest is history.
Yeah, 28 years later, we're all a bit older. But I wasn't here then. I was in Auckland, I think, around that time. Anyway, Cedric, do you want to tell us about your mission? I think it's easier if you just, I don't try to describe it, you just tell us in your own words what you're up to. You've got to give a little page going, yes. And you're looking for some support. So yeah, just tell us what that's all about.
Well, basically, Reglan, I've returned, lost child, founder of the station, one of the founders, and I've come to ask my town that I've known well all my life, born and raised, for your support towards my appeal to go towards Ukraine. I'm currently fundraising on a Give a Little page titled Help Me Help Them All, and I'm targeting 50,000 as my goal. Now, all that will, the costs in that involved in that will basically be used on travel first and foremost, because it's going to cost about, the rate seems to be going up weekly, so I think we're looking at around $7,000 to get to fly into Poland and to Warsaw there. So it's about, that's just one-way ticket.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's quite expensive, the travel alone, but I figured 50,000 should cover the travel as well as being able to freight over some humanitarian aid and equipment to take to Ukraine. I'm currently in the throes of finding sponsorship from a few corporate bodies to send the freight container over. And I'll meet it over there, and we here from New Zealand can fill that up with all means of humanitarian aid and whatnot. My specific reasoning for going over was for those that don't know, we lost a soldier over there already. He was there on a voluntary capacity. He was a former member of the 2nd 1st Battalion Royal New Zealand Infantry based out of Burnham, Christchurch. He went and volunteered his services of his own volition and unfortunately made the ultimate sacrifice during that process.
So he's not there in official capacity?
No, he was there on leave without pay.
As in not in a government capacity, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. On top of that, because he knew what he was doing and where he was going, he did not inform the Defence Force, which when you are a soldier in there, you must inform them of these kind of activities, even if you are going on leave without pay. That way they can, them, the Defence Force and the government can prepare and advise certain infrastructures to wherever you're going. But that wasn't done, and the government can only use back channels in order to make any effort in getting Corporal Dominic Abilene home from Ukraine. He's currently been held by the Russians.
So his body?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he lost his life during a contact against the Russians as he went out. He was part of a unit that served with the Foreign Legion, the Ukraine Foreign Legion. So he went in. He actually signed up, by, from what I'm aware of, as a Foreign Legion fighter for Ukraine. And he had the skills and talents to do all that sort of stuff. Yeah, he then ventured out one night on a mission and unfortunately never made it back from that. Over a period of a day or so, the Russians fought wildly in that very same contact that they were in. And eventually the Russians collected him and the other fighters, the Foreign Legion fighters that went down in the same contact with him. You might be aware of an American that was recently released by the Russians and sent back to the US.
Yeah.
He was also a member of that same fire team that went and conducted those activities against the Russians.
So that was his body that was released?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, just want to confirm that.
So my aim is, because there's nothing else to assist in getting Corporal Dominic back, I'll put myself and volunteered my services and skills as a former soldier of 2nd 1st Battalion as well.
Yeah,
I served 4 years down in Christchurch. I've volunteered my services as a civilian and also will be going into the Ukraine Foreign Legion.
Okay, so the purpose is, but your purpose is to get him back?
My purpose absolutely is to bring young Corporal home. Absolutely, yeah, just doesn't appear to be any other means or ways to make that happen unless we have a private contractor such as myself go in and do something like that. Of course, where he is still currently occupied by the Russians, and it probably won't be until there's some sort of withdrawal, I'm guessing, when we'll be able to make an attempt on recovering Corporal Abilene. But until then, I will be heading over to prepare to make preparations in order to conduct a very specific operation to recover and repatriate Corporal Abilene. Yeah.
So because he wasn't there in any official capacity, is the New Zealand government trying to get... I mean, he's still a citizen of New Zealand, so are they trying to do something?
Absolutely. I mean, the government won't stop. The best they can do... is work the back channels, i.e. discussions behind closed doors. It's just like the movies, if you could think of the back channels.
And there's all sorts of diplomatic reasons for not using
technically front channels, if you want to call it that. I mean, the government, if this was a declared war, then there'd be no issues on sending troops in there, but it's not a declared war because it hasn't actually been declared. Yeah. As a war that halts the New Zealand government from actually entering Ukraine under any circumstances.
Right, yeah. So it's just like diplomacy in the background.
Absolutely.
Perhaps. All right. Yeah. And there are, this friend of yours is one of, I'm sure, many people with that story. So
yes.
There's a long list of...
There is a handful of Kiwis that are... serving throughout Ukraine itself, and I mean just a small handful. There is another guy, Tenby Powell, former mayor of Tauranga.
Yeah.
Tauranga. He's currently there with a group called Kiwi Care, and they're providing humanitarian aid to the Ukrainians right across the front line.
So how, I mean, do you have a plan for once you're there? Like, what's the approach you're going to take?
Well, without mentioning any names, after signing up into the Ukraine Foreign Legion, I will be met with a contact on the ground there who's also a member of the Defence Force. He is there in official capacity. However, he's only attached to the headquarters branch of the Ukrainian Armed Forces, assisting in the official capacity, but not there to fight, but they're able to assist in intelligence and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. So you've been in contact with him?
The guy of which I speak of, he was one of the guys that was involved in the exact same firefight.
Right.
At the same time. Unfortunately, he was only one trench line back when it all went down, and they just could not get to them in the end after sustained coming under heavy bombardment from the Russians. So the guy that I will be meeting will be collecting me up once I arrive into Ukraine at the Polish border, and I'll probably head directly to Kiev from there to be inducted into the Foreign Legion, I would imagine. And from there, yeah, we'll conduct what we need to conduct in terms of trying to get our brother back from the Russians.
Mm. Yeah. That sounds like a challenge if he's on the other side of the front line.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
In a situation like that, does the other side acknowledge that they've got people?
Yes. Because there's a continued exchange program going on between Ukraine and the Russian forces for prisoners of wars, including those that have fallen on both sides.
Yeah.
There is a constant exchange of both wounded, those killed in action, and those taken prisoners of war.
Yeah,
it's a continuous operation going with the Ukrainians and the Russians. They just know they need their guys back, and they're happy to trade off. With exception to, it is an odd reason why the Russians will not return our guy. It's very odd, and until I actually get on the ground as to why the Russians are refusing to let to release the body of Corporal Abilene, your guess is as good as mine.
So they haven't said, but they've just said no.
Basically, yeah, denied us any access to him. They we know exactly where he is, but it's not a place we can just march right into and pick him up.
No, I think we'd all assume
that. If I
can
just narrow it down, he is within the city.
Yeah.
And he's in...
Okay.
We'll just say he's been held in the city, and we know exactly where he is. But again, no one can just go straight into occupied Russian territory at the moment.
Well, no.
Not without a big fight.
I mean, is that what you're expecting, a fight? I mean, if you're going to be inducted into the Foreign Legion, then...
I've expressed this to my friend that's there on the ground that was in that context, and I says, I'll do whatever it takes. You know, if it means sacrificing myself to get him off those front lines, off the Russians' hands, then so be it. I will commit to that. And I've made it very clear to my contact on the ground that will be the case. If I have to fight, we will fight.
What does your family think of that?
My family...
Well, if that's private, just say it's private.
I suppose
that's
they haven't really expressed any concerns at this stage. I know it's all on their minds, and I know they probably want to be asking me a few things, but at this stage, the concerns are very low.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm solo guy now. Don't have a relationship anymore, so I'm basically in a position to be able to do such a thing.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So should we tell people about this fundraiser, because you need some help, financial help, to do this?
Yes.
So how do people get to the Give a Little page?
Okay, pretty easy, seeing we're all just about tech savvy these days. It's just go onto the Give a Little page, and if you just type in the search box, help me help them more, that'll direct you to my funding page.
Okay,
so I have posted up on through Facebook, through most of the social networks that New Zealanders use, and funding has been very slow. As I see, we have 4 donations over 23 days so far.
So if you're someone who's social media savvy and you want to help Cedric out, I reckon that would be helpful as well.
Yeah, jump online and
help
look
spread
up
the word. Yeah,
Give a Little page, and yeah, you have to be specific though. It's help me help them all.
Yeah. All right, and you're going to stay now. I'm wrapping up the show now, but you're going to stick around, and we're going to give you the controls, and you're going to do a little broadcast, take you back to the old days.
Oh no!
except when you started, it was like tape decks and CDs with the radio station. So it's all different now.
Everything is almost totally different in here now.
Yeah, well, we still got CD players and a tape. I fixed the tape deck the other day too. It actually works.
Is that our original? That looks like the old. Some of the old
I,
ones.
I don't know. I don't, because I wasn't here originally, so I don't know if it was the original stuff or not.
Stacker? Is it the Stacker?
Nah, I don't know.
That looks like the OG one. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but we also got the computer and all the stuff that's available on the internet these days. So it's really different.
Very different. Wow.
Yeah. If you just joined in halfway through, Cedric was one of the founders of the radio station. Still at school at the time. You were probably one of the kids who was playing gangster rap around the lunchtime, were you?
That was my other brother and the other brother. They were. Yeah, I was more down to Bob Marley and then reggae stuff.
Oh, peace and love.
Yeah, absolutely. Ja One Love.
There was a bit of a legend of the old days of the radio station. So
yeah, we all had our own various little shows there. Great fun, eh? Great fun back in those days.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, man. Well, look, Cedric, thank you for coming in. And folks, just to remind you, the give a little page. Help me help them all. And you can help Cedric. Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming in.